Hello and welcome to the Movie Quest podcast. This is a podcast where three friends talk about some films and you join us at the start of our escape season. So last week we had Oscars, and then prior to that we had a small three-episode season focusing on the theme of dusk. But this season that we are starting today will be about escape. Anything to do with escape films, like prison breaks, escape from a terrible situation, escape from, yeah, anything. So that is what this season is going to be about. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can find us at themoviequest.com, or we're on Instagram at themoviequest, or you can even send us an email at podcast@themoviequest.com. If you want to send us any reviews or tell us that we've said something wrong in any of our episodes, just let us know and we will more than likely read it out. But I'm joined today by Ant and Aaron.
Hello.
Hi.
Are you guys okay?
Yes.
Yeah, so obviously John has mentioned that you can email in or message us on Instagram to get in touch, and we have our listener has got in touch via Instagram. They may actually live with one of the hosts. So Anthony's partner, Mel, got in contact and said, "Well done, Johnny. Enjoyed your film pick this week." Normally I sit there thinking, what on earth am I watching when Johnny picks a film? But really enjoyed this one, despite Google Box ruining the ending for me. Right, when Mel says Google Box, is it supposed to be Gogglebox?
Yeah, Gogglebox.
Yeah, Gogglebox.
Oh, no, it says Gogglebox. What? I read it wrong. Yeah. It definitely says Gogglebox. Like, definitely. Mel, I'm sorry. I misquoted you.
Yeah,
I'm an idiot.
The film featured on Gogglebox. So straight away, when we were watching the film, and Mel was like, "Oh, is this the one with the... where he makes a wooden key?" And I was like, "I have no idea." But then I think she knew how it ended and everything. So it was a little bit spiteful of that. But she still enjoyed it. So there you go.
Nice. Yeah. That is where I got the very easy inspiration. We're doing escape season, so let's do escape from Pretoria.
Also, it's new, isn't it, as well? So it's just come out in the last like few months, I think, as well. So it's fairly in the zeitgeist.
Yeah. But I suppose we'll get onto that a little bit later on.
Yes.
But have you guys been watching anything recently?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Anne and I have been texting. Anne and I watched. Anne and I took 4 hours of our lives out to watch the Zack Snyder Justice League.
I actually took a bit longer because I watched some of the original Justice League as well.
Well, so you watched Justice League as well?
I watched some Justice League, yeah.
So you watched both?
I watched some of it. I didn't watch all of it.
Some of it, yeah. Okay, all right.
I wanted to just get the gist of it, which I did.
I really wish that I did that, but I don't. I really it just like watching that film just really burned me out, because it's not I'm not saying it was bad. I mean, I think it was bad, but like, it's quite long.
Should we get into what it is and what the history of it?
Yeah.
I mean, people who are, like, probably people who are bothered about Justice League already know what the history of it is, but for those who, you know, don't know this that much about what's interesting about this film, is so this film originally came out in 2017.
Yes.
But at the time, as it was in production, the director Zack Snyder had to step down because his daughter committed suicide, so he had to take time away from the film, and he had to step down, and then basically the studio were looking to get someone else in to finish it off, and they got Joss Whedon, who is the man behind most of the early Avengers films. He's well versed in sort of the Marvel universe, and obviously this is a DC film. So but then what I think is interesting at this point is they, instead of just finishing off the film, they, like, I think there must have been quite a big pressure from the studio to be like, oh, this is a, like, I mean, the film that Zack Snyder just released is 4 hours long, as Aaron said. And I think at the time they were saying, from what I understand, it was sort of like a, we can't release this, like, especially after how Batman vs Superman went down. I don't think it was well liked. So what I think this is kind of a bit of a I think this is pretty harsh as that sign a little bit. Basically they took his film off him and they completely changed it and reshot like huge amounts of the film. Joss Whedon like crowbarred in like loads of different one-liners and jokes and stuff that don't really fit with the tone of the film at all.
Yeah.
It like changed how the color, like, there's loads of stuff, like you can watch like videos online about what they've done to change it, but like they changed like the color grading, they changed the way that it was edited, they changed like some of the key plots they had to cut down because they obviously did to try and cut down a film from 4 hours to like a watchable, you know, I think it's like two and a bit hours or something like that. So they basically took it apart to a point where Christopher Nolan, his good friends with Zack Snyder and his wife Deborah Snyder, they basically pulled Zack, you know, took Zack aside and said, "Listen, you can't watch this film. Like, they've just ruined what you've like made or whatever. Don't watch this film. It's gonna like you completely changed what you were gonna do with it." Even though it says it's directed by Zack Snyder, it's interesting. But yeah, so like he's never seen it. He's never seen the original, the sort of Joss Whedon version. And then yeah, obviously, I'm pretty sure. Like, it seems like most DC people didn't like it. They sort of hated on it. There was some horrible stuff in there where the reshoots had to like reshoot Superman. And at the time, Henry Cavill was like contracted to play a guy with a mustache in a Mission Impossible film, so like they had to like CGI out the mustache and it looks terrible, and there's all this like stuff around it at the time. Anyway, like 4 years later, I guess now, during COVID, like they were like, okay, we can't go out and film more films, so what can we do? Oh, people want us to release the Zack Snyder version of this Justice League film. We don't have to release it to cinemas because cinemas aren't really open, so let's re-edit it and put it out as like his original sort of vision for the
vision.
Film.
It's the original vision for the film.
And we can release it on streaming platforms and it's fine, it's 4 hours long. So that's where we start. That's not the backstory of the film. And I think I'm always up for directors being able to like actually have the vision on the film, and it's not good when like films are taken away from them and like butchered or whatever. But right, Aaron.
I'm always like game for that, and I do respect Snyder because I know that he sunk loads of his own money, because it was like heavy amounts of like CGI changes, and he sunk loads of his money into the production to make sure that he could get it he wanted to view. It's not like he like took more money from like the publishers or anyone else. He was like, no, this is my money, this is my project, I want to put like what
I
can.
Yeah, I don't think he got paid for it either, did he? I mean, he did it for free.
Like, Ant and I are not fans of like the DC universe. At least I'm not. You know, because it, like, let's be honest, it's a complete mess. Like, it is just a complete mess.
It seems like
mess.
They're basically just constantly chasing the Marvel stuff, weren't they? They wanted to they wanted to make this sort of Justice League to
coincide.
Be the Avengers, but they didn't do any of the legwork or any of the films. So they didn't like Aquaman or any. You know, they didn't introduce them properly.
Because his movie came out after this.
Yeah, it's just bizarre.
And on that, right, so Amber, the girl in it, right, in Justice League, she has an English accent, but actually I find out that in Aquaman, she has an American accent. So her accent has changed in two films. I mean, that should just tell you how much of a mess this universe is.
Well, have you seen the thing they've done with them in Suicide Squad, where they've gone and redone, they've like basically just remade the Suicide Squad with James Gunn.
I thought they didn't like it is a reboot, but I thought it was like, because obviously this is a different squad, because I think that's the whole thing with Suicide Squad, is it's always different. The Suicide Squad.
I don't
squad
know that much about that stuff, so I just thought it was like, oh, they've just remade it for some reason. Anyway, I guess it's not like that similar to how some of other films have happened, like Incredible Hulk, they just recast everyone and did a remake of that.
Yeah, because that, again, that was messy. And I think people forget that the Marvel Cinematic Universe was also like a complete mess at one point.
Yeah.
And then they got like someone in to just like...
together,
But the problem with this is like you've had the Christopher Nolan Batmans, which are like high-tier, good superhero films. Mm. And then, like, you've got like the Joker film,
yeah,
which again is like, you know, revered, but you know, they put another Joker right, and it's a completely different sort of feel, and it's just for me, it was just like the whole thing is a complete mess.
But yeah, like we said, I went into this film with massively low expectations because, like, I was just indifferent to Man of Steel. Man of Steel was just like
it
got more annoying as it went on because it was just full of action and constant action. It was just too much, and it was like, ugh, okay, whatever.
Like, but then with Zach, for me, it was like once they threw him into one building and it like blew up. I didn't need him to be thrown into like 70 other buildings. True. It was like, we get it, he's indestructible.
But
I
like the vibe of it. It was a really cool vibe of what he was going for. It just didn't work as a film. And after that, the only other one I've watched since then was I watched Batman vs Superman, and I was absolutely bored out of my mind. I just was like, it was just horrible. I think I did watch it because I remember bits, the reference bits from it in this film. I remember some of those bits, but I just remember hating it. Anyway, so really low expectations. And I'm curious what you're going to say, Aaron, but I went into this and I put it on because I was kind of curious. It was a bit of a curiosity. I was like, okay, how bad is it going to be? Because I remember hearing terrible things about the original one. And I thought, right, let's watch it. So I sat down. It's 4 hours long. Okay, let's do it. The film's split up into five. Is it five chapters or six chapters? I think it's five chapters.
Six.
Is it six and an epilogue?
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's five. Who cares?
Yeah, it's multiple chapters. Like... almost like a TV show. This is kind of quite interesting. But yeah, I actually quite enjoyed the film.
What?
Yeah, I kind of liked it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I kind of... it was quite fun. It was quite surprisingly fun. I didn't expect it to be fun. I enjoyed the pace of it. It was much slower than...
the pace? Yeah. And half the film is in slow motion.
Yeah, it was...
that film is in slow motion. The film could be 2 hours long if they just sped the slow motion up.
I liked that. Oh, my goodness. Some of the tension they were bringing in. I liked, like...
the tension.
I liked
the
vibe they were feeling. Explain.
No, right. So this is a bit, because I'm sure I sent Anthem video, right? And I'm not going to be able to explain this, but right. The Flash is entering his like hideout or whatever. So as he's putting the key into like the lock to open it, it like the shot cuts down from below the lock and it's like boom, boom. And then he puts the key in and he turns it and then it just takes the padlock off and opens the door. And I was like, okay, why did, like, no...
Aaron.
He's just opening a door. Aaron. Calm down, Zach. Goodness sake. It's not that big a deal.
In terms of the pacing, I think if you want to watch the sped up version of this, you should watch the original Joss Whedon version, because that is...
I have no desire
to watch that.
That
is super sped up. But
that hot mess above Henry Savill's...
that's the thing. It comes with a lot of issues. So I found myself, as I was watching it, I was like, oh, this isn't that bad. This is quite cool. Ooh, I like this guy. Like, so the main bad guy in the film, I mean, I guess I'll give the quick synopsis of what happens in the film. So it's at the end of Batman vs Superman, Superman's dead. The start of this film, his death cry sends shockwaves throughout the planet, which awaken these things called the Mother Boxes. There's three boxes. One is, it's almost like, it's definitely, this film to me feels very much like a Lord of the Rings epic, sort of inspired by.
No, see, I would say it feels like, you know, you say the Mother Boxes, does it not just make you think of like Transformers?
Yeah, but this is the size of that. Right, so it has, to me, it has a very much a Lord of the Rings feel, because each of the boxes goes to a different like race.
Put them in the same room.
So like, you know, like in Lord of the Rings, you each get a different ring. So the humans had a box. The Aquamen or whatever they are, the Aqua people, the Mer people, whatever they are, the Atlantis people, Atlanteans. That's the one. They had the box, and the Amazonians had a box. And they do a flashback sequence to the original sort of invasion from this guy, like thousands of years before, where they managed to like push them back.
Darkseid.
Yeah, and then they all got these boxes, and what do the humans do? The humans just dug it under the ground. Great, swelled.
Classic. Hold on.
Whereas like the other the Amazonians and the Atlantis people, they like sort of guarded it more. Either way, so you have these boxes and they awaken, and then suddenly this guy comes down. He's called Steppenwolf.
Steppenwolf. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he is such a cool looking character. Like, he has this amazing armor cool. That's like all these little jagged, little like sharp spikes. It's just very cool. Love that character. And yeah, basically, like the way that he treats that side of treats these characters is like almost like demigods. They're like, they're not really human. They're not really like, they don't really.
That's the whole point.
They don't really have like a personality that much that you can. Like the only one is maybe Flash. Flash is probably the only one you sort of like connect with, and he's quite like a fun character. The rest of them are all pretty, like, just a bit above everyone. But yeah, there's some, like, I don't want to go into too much, but again, like, there's great action scenes at the start with Wonder Woman. That was, I really enjoyed that scene.
That was good. Yeah, I
where she's
that
like break. She's like saving a bunch of kids at like a bank or something in London. And yeah, just like, I think there's loads of great stuff in this film. I do think it obviously has issues. Maybe, yeah, there's some scenes that could have been cut down completely or like a bit silly.
The answer to that is yes, definitely. There's some yeah. scenes that could have been cut down.
I actually quite like Batman in this film, surprisingly, even though I hated him in the other ones. I liked how little he had to do in it, which is like.
Oh, okay.
Because he was just kind of, if you sort of thought of him as not Batman, as just, he's just like a tech guy who has bat ears. He's just like, it's like, he just has a lot of tech and a lot of like guns and things. Just don't think of him as Batman. Think of him as just like a really, like
yeah,
a,
but,
like a.
They messed Wilfred up though. They like completely Alfred. Broke the whole. Alfred. They completely broke that relationship of just like.
They changed it. There. Made it different.
No, it's yeah, but
doing something different.
Just there's like this weird like quippy relationship, and it's like no, like. Alfred's supposed to be the father figure. He's supposed to be the one who like takes care of him. And in this, they're having this weird. I don't know. I wasn't
different into vibe
it
in it. Different vibe.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't want to go into too much more. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really fun. Like it's too long. It needs cutting down. I think somewhere in the middle between this and the Joss Whedon film, like a 3-hour film, would probably be about right to cut it down. Take an hour off it. There's a whole like epilogue at the end. Which probably didn't need to be there, but it was kind of interesting, and I was kind of sad that they're not going to do anything with it. Where the I don't know, do we want to spoil this? It's like a dream.
Well,
like
it's fine. Look, they bring back Jared Leto as a creepy, weird nonce that he is, and like just like I don't know, like he's it's yeah.
I thought that was an interesting bit.
Basically, at the end, they just make this whole thing swinging to hopefully make another. Like,
there's not going to be, I don't think.
Film, yeah, because they're already doing the other.
I know
Batman,
that's the problem.
With,
I know
they're doing.
It would
the,
be weird if they did this as well as the other one.
Do you think that this film would have like been as popular if it was shorter? If it was like a 2.5 hour or a 3 hour film.
I think if,
the,
like, if that's kind of
the 4 hours that like really draws people in, like, oh gosh, it's a 4 hour version of this. Like, whoa, this is going to be either terrible or amazing.
It probably brings in the Snyder fans and people who are like campaigning for it to come back. They're like, oh yeah, I can see the full 4 hours. I think if they would have made this film, shortened it by an hour, they could have easily released this at the cinema. It would have been like epically
and
long.
It would have done well, I think.
It would have done well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like, the overwhelming feedback. I'm just an ass. Like,
go on, Harry. No, I'll let you complain because there's valid reasons to not like it. I was surprised.
The overwhelming feedback that I've had from people that are Snyder fans, even people that didn't like Batman and Superman versus Superman or whatever, like, it's actually, they've enjoyed this film. DC fans have enjoyed this film. It gives a lot of fan service. Zack Snyder, I think, gets the DC universe in that sort of way. And people really like vibed off that.
It just took him like three films to get it right, didn't it?
Yeah, so. I mean, it's just again like this. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Like the Justice League was like getting into a swimming pool full of poo and swimming around in it, and you know, obviously not enjoying yourself. And for me, the Zack Snyder version is climbing out of the pool and looking at it. It's still poo, and it's still stinks, but at least you're not in the pool swimming around in it.
Like, I don't know, you haven't watched that version, so
I don't need to. Like, oh, I think it's funny because sometimes you can watch like trailers like from films or you can just people talk about it like Batman versus Superman, and I know full well that I'm not going to enjoy that film, and I know full well that that film is hot trash.
I would recommend watching the first like 40 minutes of it because you get the pacing and the differences straight away, and it's like, oh, some sort of alternate universe, like weird version of this film.
Yeah,
it's almost like parts of it are almost like a fan movie or something. It's really weird. Anyway, we should probably move on.
We should stop.
We've been speaking for too long.
Yeah, we've talked about Justice League as much as Zack Snyder's like, film. We've given it too much time.
Yeah. Sorry, everyone.
It's just long. It's long to get to talk. Yeah.
Where can you watch it?
It's on Now TV.
Now TV. Cool. Yeah. Nice. Well, I saw a much shorter film called Psycho Gorman, which...
Psycho Gorman?
Psycho Gorman. So basically, it is a Canadian comedy, horror, sci-fi film. So if you picture Power Rangers, Stranger Things and The Goonies and maybe like some Hammer horror and smash them all together, you get Psycho Gorman. It's not the tip-top best film, but I really, really enjoyed it. It's made by this this production company called Astron 6, and they are a group of directors who work together to make like 80s-centric horror comedy films, like, you know, like Shopping Mall and that type of film.
They did
Leprechaun Returns, yeah. The Void, Manborg, and various
I really
other
want to see The Void
other sort of comedy horror films. But this film, basically, there's a girl who is playing a game in a garden with a brother, and she ends up digging up this gem which wakes up Psycho Gorman, who is like an evil overlord who, from centuries ago, basically going to destroy the whole universe because he was, like, it explains why later on. But because she, like, unearths him and she has this gem, she can control him. So she basically, like, uses him as a pet. And he's, like...
Great.
So he's, like... Great. He's, like, himself, like, this really aggressive, like, person who wants to, like, smash everyone's head in. But she, like, he's controlled by her, so he has to, like, say sorry to people. And, like, if she gets angry, then she can, like, use him to, like, go and beat someone up or threaten someone or something like that. But, yeah, it's really, really good. It's only got released, like, earlier this year, and I managed to find it on YouTube. So it's definitely worth a watch. Yeah, story's a mess. Doesn't particularly make a huge amount of sense, but I just found it really satisfying and nostalgic to watch. There's a lot of gore in it. There's a lot of like brains and people being exploded.
How was the soundtrack? I feel like it looks like it could have like a really good soundtrack.
Yes, it was pretty good. It wasn't like maybe Stranger Things quality, but it's pretty good for this kind of standard of film. There's like quite a few like really cool characters. Like there's this giant brain that just hops about, and there's this other character who's basically like a pot of body parts with arms and legs that kind of just walks about.
It looks so like, you know, the Power Rangers the movie. It has that sort of aesthetic to it. Everything's got slime and goo all over it, and like sort of bad, sort of polished turd sort of visuals, I guess.
Yeah,
that's how I would describe it. It looks quite fun though.
Yeah,
so I'm watching a trailer right now for it. I just watched
the lead girl actress is really, really annoying. But if you can look past all those parts and just like enjoy it for the gore and
slapstick,
the monsters and just the kind of madness of the film, it's quite fun. I watched it with Sarah.
How did you pick this? Why did you decide to pick this?
Were you clipping
through the films and just thought, let's go for this one?
I'd seen some trailers for it before, and I was like, that sounds like quite an interesting sort of story. I thought it was going to be a little bit more serious than what it was. I was looking at the budget. It's like 1.5 million, and currently it's only done 92,000 at the box office. So I'm hoping that in time it will recoup some more of what they put into the film. But I think it'll be one of those sort of future cult classics.
Yeah, because the Void is very much that, isn't it? It's like a cult classic film.
Yeah. But
so what did Sarah think?
It's definitely not her type of film, for sure. Yeah, I think she...
Poor Sarah.
I think she fell asleep for a little bit of it. Just right. Not because it was boring, respect. But I think it was just maybe just a bit too much for her to take in.
Is Sarah like one of these people that can just like fall asleep anywhere?
Yeah.
So that is a skill.
But I would say like this would be a great film to watch with like a group of friends on a Saturday.
I would like to watch that, or The Void, or any of the sort of films that are from this sort of set of is it a publisher? Did you say?
Like a production company? It's like a group of like directors who like.
I would do that. I'd definitely do that. They again. I haven't seen The Void, but I would like to watch The Void.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, has anyone else got anything else they've been watching, or is that
that's me done.
And on to someone else with a great beard. We're going to talk about Escape from Pretoria, which features Daniel Radcliffe and his beard.
That's what you... I mean, you're not going to comment about the other thing
We'll get into that. So, Escape from Pretoria was my pick for the Escape season. This is a film I've not seen. So, for this season, we're doing basically 9 episodes and like 3 mini seasons. So we've done a Dust season and Escape, and then we're going to do another one, which we don't know what it is yet. But in each mini season, across the 3 seasons, we only get one film that we've seen before. I've not seen this film before, so it was kind of a pick.
You blew your choice on Blue Ruin, didn't you?
Yeah.
Early on.
Yeah.
So now you've got to choose two films you haven't seen yet. So.
Yeah. And it was a slight lazy choice because I, like Mel, had seen the little bit from Gogglebox, and I was like, it's an escape season, and that film's called Escape from Pretoria. So
to be fair, like I'd seen this pop up on Amazon, and I was like, I want to watch this. I every time I see a Daniel Radcliffe film in any of these films he's been in. So he's been in. It was this one. He was in. Was it?
Guns Akimbo.
Imperium.
Swiss Army Man.
Yeah, he's been in quite a few of these. I think he's trying to like break out of his sort of role as Harry Potter, so he's doing a lot. Like, I think it was a film called Jungle,
Horns,
Papillon.
Now You See Me Too.
Yeah, there's just like, anytime I see Daniel Radcliffe in one of these films, I'm always like, oh, I kind of want to watch that because I'm kind of interested to see, like, usually kind of interesting films anyway. But I'm kind of interested to see him playing that part. I suppose is why people cast him as, you know, in these films, because he's like, people like him. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's a big name, and he kind of, a lot of people will watch a film because it's Daniel Radcliffe and they want more Harry Potter. And
yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe to them is Harry Potter.
It's hard. I think it's really hard for actors who have been in big series, because I was chatting to my brother-in-law about this because they watched this film as well. And like, you know, it's interesting to see, like, for example, Rob Patterson, who was really big in the Twilight films, and how he's sort of progressed to the point now where he's kind of
known for other things.
He's obviously known for that, but he's known for other things. Like, he's now able to sort of move on from that, and obviously, it's allowed him to go and play Batman.
I don't think Daniel Radcliffe's ever going to play Batman.
Yes, but no, I know, but like, it's like
he doesn't have the sort of he's not really a leading man if you think about it, in terms of
he's not really tall,
he's not like, I mean, he's muscly in this film, but he's like built, and also he's done that for a few of films where he's like henchman, but he doesn't have that sort of charisma about him. I don't think he's because, I mean, Harry Potter is a bit of a nerd, isn't he? So like he has to sort of fit that sort of vibe, and I don't think he's ever gonna. Like be a Tom Cruise, or even though Tom Cruise is quite small, but like a sort of big action star.
The Rock.
But then he can play these more interesting roles that are not quite as on the nose as those.
Yeah, I mean, and this is kind of, I don't want to say like an everyman, but he is just, he's playing a citizen of South Africa who is fighting against apartheid. So he's not playing like some super FBI secret agent who's gone through years of military training. He's just playing someone who is basically a political activist in South Africa.
Do you want to just quickly, just go over the what the film is? Because I had no clue about it before going into it. I was like completely oblivious to anything that was going on in this film.
Yeah, so the film is based on the real life prison escape of three political prisoners in South Africa in 1979. So Daniel Radcliffe plays Tim Jenkins, who at the start of the film we see him planting like leaflet bombs around a town in South Africa, and he plants several of these bombs which have anti-apartheid literature on them, and they explode, firing these leaflets up into the air, and quickly they seem to get arrested and sentenced to, I think it was 12 years in prison.
Yeah,
this notorious jail called Pretoria, which houses all white inmates, and half the inmates, it's segregated between political prisoners and just general prisoners, and there's quite a lot of political prisoners who are in the prison with him, and basically they plan an escape to try and break out of the prison, and that is the film in a nutshell without giving away the ending. There's not too much more to it.
It's quite straightforward. I quite like these sort of films that do that, where they're not trying to do you could compare it to what's that overrated film now? The prison escape film, really overrated, everyone loves.
I don't know.
Shawshank Redemption.
That can't be it. Surely.
Yeah, so super overrated. Everyone loves it. I think it's just fine. But with that film, it's like, that is an epic. Like, there's so much going on in that film. So many characters, so many like different storylines and like different parts of the film. This is very much a much smaller film than that. It's very much just like focusing on the sort of the political side of it, and literally just
a lot of woodwork
and the woodwork inside of it. Yeah,
a lot of woodwork
of them escaping with the keys that they make.
Like, it could be like a, you know, like a class, like a T&D class. Is that what you guys called? Ours was called T&D.
Ours was called DT.
DT.
Design technology.
Yeah. Maybe mine was design technology, and I'm just completely technology design.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
So like, yeah, there isn't too much to the story. Like, I was surprised how quickly it went from them placing these like letter bombs to being in prison, and it gave a snippet of the political climate, but it kind of felt like that intro bit, it could have done with being like 10 minutes more, like further back, maybe
raise the stakes a bit more. Yeah.
I think they played it really, they were playing it really safe personally, like with this, because obviously apartheid and everything that happened in and around that, and like, if you're going to take on that topic, it's, you might need a bigger, like, you might need to do more with the film, but quite clearly the director wanted it to be focused in on the actual escape of the prison rather than Tim Jenkins' actual story. And I think that's why they didn't build the apartheid stuff up as much as they could have done.
I think, I mean, part of me,
big topic.
Like, it is a big topic. And this is just my ignorance. Like, I don't think I was ever taught much about this at school or anything. Like, I didn't really know much about apartheid and South Africa and the political like movement and stuff up until maybe like, you know, like 10 years ago or something, where I actually like was doing some reading about it online and stuff. Like, it never really was a big, and I can imagine a lot of people in the UK or whatever, or people in America as well, probably don't know tons about it. And I mean, there must be probably loads of other films that do talk about it in detail. But yeah, I think you're right, Johnny. I think they could have spent another 5-10 minutes just sort of going through it a bit more. But I think with these films, especially when they're premiering on like the on a streaming site, I think they just need to hook you straight away and get you into it, and just like, I think that's a big part of it. It's just like keeping the minutes down of like how the length of the film, and just trying to get you hooked in. Okay, right, you know, bad guys, you know, I've put him in prison. He's a good guy. We're in prison. He's got to escape. Here you go, and then sort of get you hooked into the film. So yeah, I think it definitely could have been, if it was like from like a sort of bigger name director and like studio and stuff, I think it probably would have been. Maybe they could have focused on some of the other elements, but
I mean, but then Tim Jenkins was involved in the film, so like he, you know, he probably made a lot of the decisions in some way to, because it was a bit based off his book.
Yeah, like, true.
Yeah. So like maybe this is the thing that he just wanted to focus on. Like it could have been.
Yeah, don't know the way. Yeah, I guess. Like, yeah,
it's hard to say.
So the film was directed by Francis Annan, and I've had a look at his back catalogue. Nothing really jumping out at me there. He's done quite a few short films. One called The Longest Drive, Going Up, and Celia. He's also directed Holby City, a few episodes there. Apparently,
yeah, it seems like this is like his breakout film, it seems like.
Yeah, he's won some awards for some of his short films, and he's, yeah, obviously done some work with the BBC, but it seems like quite a jump from doing those short films to something like this with a big name actor.
Hi guys, Johnny here, just editing the episode. So when we were recording, I mistakenly said that Daniel Radcliffe was born in South Africa, but he's not, it's actually his mum. So that might change how the next bit of recording sounds. But anyway, enjoy.
I'll just say, for me, the first, obviously, he narrates it right straight away, doesn't he, at the start. He starts talking, he sort of introduces the film, and straight away I was like, ooh, that seems like a really bad accent that Daniel Radcliffe is doing right now. But the problem is with South African is that it's so, it's just going to, this is not trying to sound xenophobic or anything. It's a very odd accent to my ears. Like, it's always a bit like, funny to hear, like it's just like I don't often hear much of it, and like so when you hear it you're like, oh okay, that's like a big one for me is like District 9. I remember watching that and loving the accents and that and thinking they're amazing, but like I mean, you know, just being really like sort of captivated by it and stuff, just like the language and the way that, you know, it's really you know, interesting and quite fun to listen to. But then when you listen to this, I'm like, it sounds bad to me, but maybe it's maybe actually that's just a certain, like, you know, maybe it's just a part of South Africa that they speak like that or whatever. Afterwards, I went on and read about some people's reactions, and it seems like, no, it's not a great accent. But
no, it's not.
Yeah, good. But
like I went to high school with a South African guy, so I heard it relatively regularly. I think, Johnny, you might have known him. He went to a lot of the YFC stuff. He had that brown hair. Maybe not.
I'm not sure.
But anyway, so like, I wouldn't say I'm like familiar with it, but I'd heard it quite a lot. And like, I think from the get go, I knew pretty quickly that this wasn't a good.
Yeah, it's tricky because it could be localized or something, I suppose. Like, it might be different in different parts or whatever. I don't know. But
in his defense, there's a few accents that I think people struggle with, one being Northern Irish, because I'm still yet to hear a good Northern Irish accent from someone who's not either Irish or Northern Irish, and also South African. Yeah. I think it's quite a hard accent to get right. Mm.
I will say though, after maybe 5-10 minutes, I sort of forgot about it and just sort of enjoyed the film at that point.
Yeah, I think he just gave up towards the end.
there was a few bits where his British came through, definitely.
it's like, do you know what? I feel like the director was like, you did try your best. It's okay. You know what? Let's just
go with it. Yeah.
Phase it out. You know, like when Ross is phase night is morning, Donald, and he starts going to his like New York accent or whatever. It's the same sort of vibe or whatever.
I mean, the director is like from the UK as well. So, I mean, I don't know if, I wonder how many people were involved. I guess Tim Jenkins, the the guy who wrote the stories of the main character.
I think it was shot in Australia, so there's like a few Australian.
It's a bit of a headbend, isn't it? Because you're like you're filming it in Australia, it's probably surrounded by quite a few Australians, but you're trying to be South African.
Yeah.
But you're like English, so trying to nail all those I was tempted to put subtitles on right at the very start, but as Ant said, like, you kind of forget about the accent and your ears become adjusted to it, so it's a little bit easier to digest. I thought the prison was fairly nice. I didn't think it was a terrible place to be. Like in Shawshank Redemption, there's like obviously some terrible scenes where you really want the prisoners to get out, but because there was like this group of political prisoners surrounding him, it didn't feel like it was that bad. Yeah, that's the film.
I think that's the way the film's portraying it as it not being like downside of the film.
Potentially, because I just would have thought that the prison would have been worse. Like, in
do you not think it's because they were white?
Maybe it was better. But like, I don't know. I just
because I mean it. If you saw how they treated the black
guy,
like you know, the cook, yeah, like, and they treated him like completely differently.
Yeah.
Like, would it not? I mean, that was like that was like the hint.
I guess it's and also it's how much you trust. It's how much you trust in the film. Like, is the film a good representation of what the jail was like, or is it just? Like, they didn't get the set dressing correct, and you know what I mean, like the vibe of the film of the jail correct. Yeah, because like I mean, the main part that I found the most stressing was the French guy. I think he was he might have been an invented character, but I'm not sure. I also think
he was invented.
Leonard Fontaine.
Fontaine.
I'm not sure if he's a real person or not, or he's a bit of a composite of multiple characters. But I found his stuff with his kid really shocking. That was really horrible.
It was hard, right?
So he gets to see his kid once a year for 30 minutes and then he quit. It's just like, oh, it's horrendous.
See, for me, that was the game was like they weren't going to treat the political prisoners badly because they're just political prisoners. But it was the police or whoever trying to psych them out. It was like a mind game almost. Mm. Like they were trying to like...
break them down, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I took away from that.
I think you're right, John. It did feel quite a little bit generic prison and didn't feel that like...
Yeah. So it's like they get to do gardening, they get to do woodwork and, you know, this sounds like they've got like a fair amount of activities to do. And it just, you know, with a lot of other prison films, they make prison out to be like this really terrible place where, you know, you really want to get out. Whereas this one, like, a lot of the other political prisoners seem to want to stay because that's how they were going to make their mark on the society and, you know, obviously their protests just to wait out their time. But these three guys wanted to show their protest by escaping and showing the system and doing more political stuff outside of prison. But, yeah, I just didn't really feel like there was a like it was that bad, like in the prison.
Yeah.
Like if I was there, like obviously, you know, I wouldn't like to be in prison, but I think I could probably get by, sort of thing.
Yeah.
What did you think of the escape? Like,
so this to me was probably the best bit of the film. So I enjoyed the progression of them, like figuring out how to make all the keys, woodworking the different shapes and stuff and figuring out how to make the key. That was interesting. And it's kind of like, the added point of that, it's all based on a true story, makes it feel way more... Like, I feel like if this was not based on a true story, you'd sort of be like, really? They make keys? That work? It sort of feels a bit far-fetched. But because it's based on a true story, you just forgive it straight away and be like, oh, yeah, of course, it's based on a true story, so that's what happened. And you sort of, like, go with it. And like the whole there's some smaller sequence at the start where he's trying to test out his keys and try and get out of his prison cell, and that's like super tense. But that whole sequence towards the end, where they're going through like there's like a linear progression of like these different barriers they've got to get through this door, get through this gate, hide in this box. It felt almost like a video game style thing. You got this rehearsed sort of flow, they got to go through the prison and they do it exact right, and then obviously they mix it up because the prison guard has a upset stomach and has to go and use the plunger and it all messes everything up. I found it really, yeah, that was for me my favourite part of the film, to be honest.
Yeah.
The tension built up on that was great.
Yeah.
I think the plunger was a bit before that. I think was in it? The right, actual okay. escape. Right. Yeah. I mean, not that it matters. So yeah, for me, that section, it was sort of like rinse and repeat. Like they were like doing the same thing over and over again. And I get because they were trying to build out how tedious it was to escape because, you know, they had to keep making keys to get that like sort of to escape or whatever. And I was like, I understand that that's what they were trying to, the point that they were trying to make. I just think I was kind of, it was the suspense for it was kind of lost on me after a while.
Maybe like, just a bit too long of a
Yeah. I mean, the final one where they're going out and then when they get to the door and they're like, there's that whole thing.
Yeah,
there.
I love like, that bit. I was saying to Mel, cool, like, what would your reaction have been at that point when you got to the door and you found out that the key doesn't work? What would your reaction be? Because I was saying to Mel, I would have done what Daniel Radcliffe did. I would have gone like, right, okay, let's go back. We'll just have to figure out the key again. Make another key. Because you're like in that mindset of making keys.
And then like when they're banging it and you're just thinking like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like it's like that last ditch attempt. And I was thinking like, what if people outside are going to hear it? Like, are you crazy? And I thought that worked for me. That really, really worked for me. I think it's just the build up to it. Mm. It just felt quite tedious. I enjoyed the gum section.
Yeah. It's gross, that felt very so gross.
But it just showed you like how sort of like Tim Jenkins as a human. I don't know how true it is to the original, like his original story or whatever, but like how smart he was at quick thinking.
Oh, yeah.
And like just,
well, even like the bit like, where the guard comes in and he's asking him about what's this little thing here, he picks up like the end of a key and he's like, oh, it's for putting photos on. He, like, I would never thought of that. I would have just been like, one thing I thought a little bit of trivia, when they're breaking out the door at the end, the chisel they're using to break out the door is the actual chisel he used in real life to get
no way
to, oh, I love it
to that's break out cool. Like he kept it and it's like kept it as a souvenir sort of thing, and that was the actual one. It's quite, crazy. Oh, yeah, Johnny, what did you think? Because obviously this is your pick, so.
I think it was a good film. I think, like, it's an hour and 46, hour and three quarters. So it's a good amount of time. It's a good little slice of history, and it probably makes you, it tells you a little bit, but not enough. So maybe it kind of makes you want to investigate a bit more about apartheid and, what happened to these characters a bit more after that and how this fits into the picture of that whole moment in time. I think when you're used to seeing other like fictional prison breaks, they're a lot more kind of spectacular, like, and obviously Shawshank just digging a great big giant hole and going through a sewer pipe and all the crazy stuff that goes on in that film. This is a lot more kind of simple, and it's just like you could boil it down to someone escaped from prison by copying a load of keys out of wood, and then they opened all the doors and they escaped. That is basically the film in a nutshell, but it does have a way of sort of playing it out, and I did have sweaty palms through that whole kind of part of the film as they're trying to escape. So it does what it does sort of well. I think I just wanted a little bit more from it in some ways, but it is a true story. So whether it's completely to the truth and prison is just boring and in some sections, but I don't know. What did you guys think?
I totally agree with what you said. Like, I don't think I could say it any better. Like, it's like, does exactly what it says on the tin, and that's what you got with the film. I also find out his, like, because he escapes to Mozambique, and then they go from Mozambique to, like, they end up in London, and then they end up, like, fighting more for black rights in South Africa. And is, his actual life story is really interesting. Mm. And I wanted more of that, but that's not what this film was doing. Yeah. That's not what this film was trying to say. So, and I think it's a very enjoyable watch.
A very enjoyable. It's an enjoyable watch.
Yeah, I think all these films with Daniel Radcliffe in, you know, you kind of have to, like, after the first few minutes, you're like, oh, it's Daniel Radcliffe in a beard. Oh, like, you know, or when he's doing the, I think it's Imperium, he has to be a Nazi. Oh, it's Daniel Radcliffe with a skinhead, he has to become a Nazi. Okay. And you sort of like, you've just seen Harry Potter in him. But yeah, I think he is a good actor. And even though you do see bits of Harry Potter coming through over, like, the course of, like, again, 20 minutes or so, you sort of forget that. And then you're like, you're in on, okay, this character, and he is Tim. And yeah. So, again, I agree with Johnny. I think it's not like aspiring to do this great, huge heights of a film, but it's going for like a solid film, well made, I think, and it's enjoyable. And I would recommend it to people as a short story, not have to get too invested in it. And it, yeah, like you were saying, Johnny, it gives you the sort of emphasis to go and research a bit more about apartheid. So that's what I did straight after this. I was talking to Mel about it, and I was wanting to remind myself about all the different rules that they had and how apartheid became a thing, and, you know, where it came from and stuff. So I was researching it after this again. And it kind of makes me want to watch some other films, you know, in this sort of, from this same sort of time period. And I guess there's probably quite a few that I need to go look into.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff to do with Mandela, because he was currently locked up in prison at the time.
Yeah, of course.
And then obviously, like, went on to become the President. Prime Minister of South Africa. So I think if you're gonna, like, go and research apartheid, I think you should start with Mandela.
Yeah, that would be my...
The internet. Yeah, we need to hear what, you know, the internet has a voice, and we need to tell the world.
Yeah, so obviously we've just given it voice good, given this a bit of a positive review of what we thought about this film. Let's go with the other side. Let's see what the internet thinks.
Yeah. So I've got Mr. Rollins here on Google said, those are not South African accents. Not sure what accents they were. I'm baffled as to why they couldn't get South African actors to play supporting roles. Felt like I was watching a comedy. Not impressed. This film could only be taken seriously by people who are not from Southern Africa. So
to be fair, it's quite valid, I would have thought. Like, you do wonder why they couldn't get some South African actors in. You know, it might have helped.
There's plenty of good South African actors.
Yeah. I mean, actually, to be fair, I don't know. Maybe there are some South African actors in this film, but maybe not with some of the bigger roles. I don't know.
I've heard that they were, like, mostly Australian.
Okay, so I've got one from a Mr. Donald. Doesn't say his last name, but, you know. You think what you want to think. As a South African, okay, it's not definitely not Donald Trump. As a South African, I was excited to see this movie. Sorry. As a South African, I was excited to see a movie about the country's history again. But within the first 10 minutes, I was highly disappointed. You can see that the producers did some research on the facts and got parts of the history correct. But the rotten South African accents were just too much to bear. When will these companies start employing South Africans to get the freaking accent and just the vibe of South Africa correct? Major failure. Some parts of that made me think of Donald Trump tweet, honestly. Like, the way it's written as well, like, some nice capitalization there.
Like, I just want to point out that everyone in this podcast agrees, like, with these reviews, as in, like, there should be South African actors.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
There should be South African actors. Like, totally agree. I think Johnny's point of the fact that maybe they didn't know that Daniel was born in South Africa, so I think they might have thought differently.
Yeah, I think it's mostly just the accents, and it seems people seem to be. Yeah, and I completely understand it. If I'm watching a film, like an English film or whatever, a film from Yorkshire, and they're all like Scouser or something, it would be weird. Like, you know what I mean? You'd just be like, what is going on with that, the accents?
But, Lindsay from Google said, boring. How long can I watch someone turning keys? Well, Lindsay, an hour and 46 minutes, yes. Apparently.
Yeah. I have a review from Andrew. Great big steaming pile of horse dung. The only thing worse than the accents was the acting. Seriously, this has got to be one of the most boring movies ever made. How they took a decent story and butchered it like that, God only knows. The financiers should sue the actors and should be shot without trial. Good look at the worst film awards. You have a strong shot. But the thing I find most, like, it's not annoying about this is I go on Andrew 58551's profile and he has only reviewed one film and it's this. Like, why, like, of all the films in the history of time, would you make an IMDb account and just review this one film to give it a one-star review?
He was that angry.
How much emotion he came from.
Passion.
I'll just say, like, passion. Just because obviously we've just, with these one-star review things, we try to pick out some funny ones or maybe even, like, get to a bit of a truth that we don't understand about the accents. Obviously, I was like, sounded a bit dodgy, but I wasn't so sure. And obviously, some people really don't like him. But I will say, with Escape from Pretoria, I was only able to find one bad, maybe two bad reviews, and then there's a lot of positive stuff as well. So it's not like we're saying all these bad, we're just trying to look for interesting comments.
Yeah, because a lot of the bad reviews that I read were like, I don't know how this film got so highly rated. Like, I don't know. Like,
I think it's
a perfectly watchable
film.
Yeah. I think so too. I don't.
So let's try and rate it within the three films we've already watched so far. So we've got Blue Room, Pitch Black, and Moonlight. So I think currently number three is Pitch Black. Number two is it Blue Room?
Yes.
And then number one is Moonlight. So
okay.
Yeah. And where do you think?
I'm gonna say it's above Pitch Black.
Above Pitch Black.
And below Blue Room.
Below Blue Room.
It's around there.
Aaron, what would you say? Yeah.
That is the placement in the list that I had thought too, and this is me not saying I'm not saying it's down in the depths with Pitch Black, right? I'm just saying Blue Ruin and Moonlight are two very good films.
Pitch Black's a good film as well, you know. It's enjoyable. Yeah. Based on a true story.
Somewhere
in some galaxy.
It's the origins of Vin Diesel. Do you not know?
Finally made his way to Earth to drive cars.
Yeah, I'd concur with you too. I think above.
Okay, cool.
Above Pitch Black, below Blue Ruin. Do I think it's better than Blue Ruin? No, I don't think it's better than Blue Ruin. But I think it's, you know, a fine film that's probably going to appeal to a lot more people. So. Okay, so next time it's going to be Aaron's pick. Aaron, do you know what you're going to choose?
Right, so Johnny, because you chose a film, I had a film, as soon as Ant said Escape, I wanted to watch. There's a film called Hunger, right? That's based on the hunger strikes that happened in Northern Ireland, right? But I'm not going to put us through two films where we are in a prison, plus Hunger. It's going to be brutal.
This is the Steve McQueen one with
what's
his face.
So the other film I wanted to choose, their director has already featured this season, and I've wanted to watch it for a long time. What film do you?
Is
think
it the guy who made Blue Ruin?
Yes, it is.
What's it called?
Is it Green Room?
It is Green Room.
Oh, nice. With Patrick Stewart. Nice.
So Green Room is a Jeremy Saulnier, is that a Saulnier film? With Patrick Stewart. So a punk rock band is forced to fight for survival after witnessing a murder at a neo-Nazi skinhead bar.
Oh, it's got Anton Yelchin in it.
Yes, it does.
Interesting.
I've wanted to watch this for a while, and then we watched Blue Ruin, and I was like, really, it reignited my like want to watch Green Room. So I think it's on Prime, and I've wanted to watch Hunger for a while, but Johnny's pick was based in a prison, so I was like, oh, we're not going to do that. And I think this should be
an intense watch to sort of compare it to Blue Ruin as well a little bit, have a chat about the differences and
nice. So. Well, that would be great. So thank you very much for listening. If you want to get in touch, again, you can find us on Instagram at The Movie Quest or send us an email at podcast@themoviequest.com. Thanks so much for listening and we'll catch you next time. See you.
See you.